introduce to you and commend to you Brother Ralph Walker, who will be speaking to us this week. We've been anticipating the meeting for some time, and I became acquainted with Ralph some 20 years ago when we attended college together. Since that time, he has spent his life in the preaching of the gospel and with congregations in Kentucky and Mississippi, and most recently in North Carolina. If you've heard Ralph speak before, you know that he is a very effective and capable communicator. If you don't know that, you will discover that this morning. I'm so thankful that Ralph has been able to use his talents in the Lord's kingdom, and we're looking forward, I think, to a treat this morning as we hear him. The topic, as has been announced, is the five secrets of living. The lesson this morning is the secret of living. And so we anticipate his speaking and look forward to the good messages that he will be sharing with us. If we're lacking in any way motivation for being here for all the services, I think that that will be satisfied for us this morning as we have an opportunity to listen to him. So after the singing of one other song, Brother Ralph Walker will be speaking to us.
We search for ways of improving our lives, the quality of those lives, while ignoring the ways we already know. I think that it's true that most of us know how to live better lives. That is, when we begin talking about how to improve those lives, we readily agree, yeah, that's right, that's what I really need to do. But so many times we run like rats scurrying through a maze looking for the answer when the answer's right in front of us. I'm convinced that is true of most of our lives. This year, you will either waste your life or you will spend your life, or you will invest your life. All of us have the same number of hours in the day to do that, and all of us will arrive at one of those three conclusions at the end of the road. We will have wasted a year of our lives, or we will have spent a year of our lives. Far better than either of those two would be to invest a year of our lives in some long-term profit, something that will benefit us long-term, not just for this particular year. You determine that. And I think the difference between wasting and spending, and then the difference in those and investing your life, is finding out what the secret of living really is. The secret of really living. You know, Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly." I think that what he was referring to in that statement was not just that we would have eternal life, but that our lives here would be better. You believe that? That being a Christian is going to make a difference in your life here. That you're going to be a better person here on this earth, not just hereafter. I don't believe that we as Christians just go through this life moping, cringing, and whining about this existence, but all the while saying as our only reassurance and hope, "Yeah, but you wait, in the next life I'm going to have it better." It reminds me of some football fans who are always looking for next year being our year. But that's not true of the Christian's life, folks. And I'm here to tell you this morning and through this week what the secrets of living are. And they're not secrets that I have created or that I've devised. They're secrets that I've found in one great sermon that our Lord preached to his disciples. Ironically, at the very time he was getting ready to face his death, he talked about what the secrets of living are and told them how they can have and how you and I can have abundant living. How do we achieve that? Robert E. Lee once said, "The most beautiful significant word in the entire English language is the word duty. Duty. It is defined as what you're supposed to do. And I'm convinced that when we as Christians learn what we're supposed to do, when we do our duty, we will live most abundantly. A hammer serves as a great tool when you've got to drive a nail. But it's a lousy instrument with which to work on a computer. If you want to frighten somebody, just say, "I'm here to work on your computer," and pull out a big ball-peen hammer and watch the reaction that you'll get when you do that. It just doesn't serve that purpose well. A hammer is best when it does its duty, what it was created to do, to drive small, sharp instruments into wood or to claw them back out of wood. It does well for that. A butter knife does a great job of spreading butter on bread, but it's a lousy screwdriver. We've all tried to use them for that at some time or another. And I have stitches in my head that'll testify it's a lousy screwdriver. I actually poked myself in the head trying to drive a screw underneath a dashboard one time. I have become slightly more intelligent since then, so don't hold that against me. I'm not coming back to hear this guy. He pokes himself in the head with butter knives. When you do your duty, when you do what you're supposed to do, then your life is richest. When the hammer does its job, then it does it well. And the secret of living is to do the duty of a Christian. And we're going to talk about that beginning this morning, and our lessons will continue through Wednesday, talking about five secrets of living. I am so glad you're here this morning. My job this morning is to convince you of what your duty is as a Christian, and then entice you to come back for the next lesson so that you can study with me and with our Lord Jesus Christ, because ours is a textual study in John chapter 15. If you'd like to take your Bibles there, turn with me, and we'll begin in just a moment to look at this message. I'm really happy to be here. My first time with this congregation. I have visited here years ago when passing through, and I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of you and to renewing acquaintances with dear loved ones, Matt and LaVon, and I've known Marty and Mary. You have in this congregation one of my wife's dearest friends. She grew up with and went to college with and was introduced to me by Diane Vance. Now, we were in school together, and I was going to try to give Diane a compliment by saying, but she was a child prodigy and came there much earlier than me, because I know I look a lot older than she does. But I understand you know she's also my age, and we just turned 40 together. But it's nice to be here and to be with all of you. To know Sewell and Kenita Hall on a better relationship, I have known them for years and known of them for years. And I would say of Brother Hall, he is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Amen? And his wife is a delightful prize that he has been blessed to possess and to live with. A great family. You're richly blessed, brothers and sisters, to have each other here and to worship together. And now we are most richly blessed to hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen as I read John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1 through verse 17. The words of Jesus. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Now the key verses we're going to look at in our lesson this morning are verses 2, 8, and 16. So let's go back one more time and read those verses. 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Now verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And finally verse 16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. The secret of living is doing your duty, which is fruit bearing. The secret of living is fruit bearing. Now let's make some observations about these statements that Jesus made. Let's just camp here, and that's what we're going to do for five straight lessons, if the Lord allows us to be together. We're going to camp in this section. We're going to reread it each time we come together, and it's going to become a richer text each time we read it. The secret of living is fruit bearing. Point number one, we are branches in the vine, and we live to bear fruit. That's what Jesus said. He said he appointed us that we should go and bear fruit. He says that our purpose is to bear fruit, and if we don't bear fruit, we're going to be cast away from him. Now, the only way we can do that is to become branches in the true vine, Jesus Christ. And we can only become fruit bearers when we tap into Jesus. We can't really be fully aware of what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. We can't truly live rich lives until we have tapped into the proper source, and that's Jesus Christ. You need to understand this. It may sound like a simple point, but I think it's a profound thought that Jesus is offering to us. Every branch in me, he says, every branch in me that bears fruit, the Father prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Now, you and only you can determine whether you're truly tapped into, grafted into the true vine, Jesus Christ. But is everything you do and is every thought you have, with Him in mind? I mean, do you live for Jesus as we sing in that song sometimes? Our life is through Him. A branch can't bear fruit of itself. You take a tree and break a branch off, and even if it may be laden with fruit, it's not going to continue to bear fruit because it is no longer in the source of its life. A Christian apart from Jesus Christ simply can't bear fruit. You cannot do that. Try as you might, it will only be an artificial reproduction. There is no way that we can bear the kind of fruit Jesus is talking about unless we are first part of Him as the true vine. We live through Him. We live for Him. And He becomes our source of life. Now here's what I really mean by that. We are branches in the vine, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be understood when I say this, but I do want to say this because I think it's important. We are not branches in the vine, the church. The church is not the source of our life. It's a product of our life. It's a source of nourishment for our lives, yes. But I find that there are Christians I know who are not as much a part of the vine Jesus as they are a part of the vine the church. And that's an artificial vine at best. I don't mean to separate the two in any distinguishable form as far as their importance in our lives. The church is important in our lives. But if you are just a church member and not a Christian, you cannot produce the kind of fruit we're talking about. It will only be artificial. Now, hear what I'm saying. By that I mean, if I were to ask you the question, what kind of fruit are you bearing for the Lord? And you said, well, I go to church regularly, and I'm involved in the Bible classes at the church, and I visit people, and I write cards. I'm actively involved in the church. I'm plugged into the church. You do well. But there are plenty of people and plenty of religious bodies who are doing all those things. You and I are first and foremost members of the body of Christ, which is far larger, far deeper than a local establishment such as you have here this morning. And that life carries you beyond these walls and beyond your relationship with other Christians. I'm a Christian and a disciple of Christ and a member of His body. If I don't know another Christian on the face of this earth, I have this relationship. You see my point? Yes, no, you see it? Five of you see it. Do the rest? I really like feedback. Thank you. More of you are seeing. You're a Christian if you don't know another Christian in the world. If you were the only Christian in the North Pole, you could have the kind of life we're talking about. You could bear fruit like we're going to talk about in this lesson. Now, a lot of Christians can't envision that. They think of all their work in relationship to the church. And they only work when the church energizes them to work. So we wait around for the church to organize a personal work program, or we wait around for the church to organize a Bible study program, or for the church to organize a social activity. And if it doesn't organize that, we don't do it. And we have missed the secret of living. You are part of the vine, Jesus Christ. A result of that will be that you are also a part of the local body of Christ that meets here, or wherever you may be from this morning. But we are members of the body of Christ. We live for Him and we live in Him. We don't live for the church or in the church. we live for Christ and in Him. He said, I am the true vine, not my church is the true vine. Our life goes beyond what we do here as members of the local establishment. We are living branches in a living vine. He is not dead. Jesus is not dead. He is risen. He is alive today. And He is active in us. Wherever there are Christians, Christ is there. When I was a boy, there were a couple of times when I would chafe at some of my parents' rules and regulations for my life. They were very strict about protocol in social circles. So when my parents were around, I had to do the things that reflected my parents' values. I didn't chew with my mouth open, and I didn't grab handfuls of mashed potatoes. I always tried to do those right things, put my napkin in my lap and do those when my parents were around. Now, a real reflection of whether my parents live in me is not if I do those things when my parents are around, but if I do those things when my parents are absent. See, we had a dog. His name was Zero, which was a pretty accurate reflection of what he was. And he was great when I was around. But if I left the room or left the house, he was a terror. And he knew not to get on the table if I was in the room, but you leave the room and you'd hear his little feet go across there and climb up on a chair, and he was eating off the table. The dog did not behave well. He did not reflect what I wanted him to be. The only thing that he knew was punishment. And the only thing he knew was my physical presence. Now, if we are true disciples of Jesus Christ and branches in the vine, wherever we are, there Christ will be. We will talk as He would talk. We will live as He would live. We would do as He would do. And all those things will be true as if He were standing right there beside us, because we are branches in the vine. Whatever He is, that we must be. That's our duty. That's our duty. That's what we're called upon to be. Second observation, if we're not in the vine, we can't bear the fruit of that vine. Simply can't do it. If you're not in that vine, Jesus Christ, you can't bear the fruit of the vine, Jesus Christ. We're all bearing some kind of fruit. We're all tapped into something. But you simply can't bear the fruit Jesus wants us to bear unless we are in Him. Because the fruit is the result of living in the vine. You don't get apples off of an orange tree. You simply can't get that. That fruit's not possible in that particular source of life. And if we're not in Christ, and we're not living in Christ, I don't just mean that we were once baptized so many years ago, but if we're not living in Christ, we can't bear the fruit of Christ, no matter how hard you try to do that. The branches that bear this fruit, bear this fruit in Christ for others to eat. Did you ever notice that about fruit trees? They bear a lot of fruit, and who eats it? Not the trees. We do. We eat the produce of that. And we bear fruit in Christ for others to partake of, for others to benefit from, not for ourselves. Now think about the fruit bearing that we do in Christ for just a moment and compare it to literal fruit bearing. What happens when a tree bears fruit? Well, you have three processes that the tree goes through before it can culminate in the fruit bearing. First, there's the foliage. Tree's got to produce a foliage. if it doesn't produce the foliage, which brings about the opportunity for it to take in the sun's nourishment, then it'll never bear the flowers. And the flowers are there for the pollination purposes. And without the flowers, it'll never bear fruit. Now listen again. You bear foliage first, and then flowers, and only then do you bear the fruit. You got to have it in that order. You don't get fruit without flowers, and you don't get flowers without the foliage. There is a proper order to fruit bearing. Now, when we understand that, and we begin to apply that to our lives in Christ, our fruit bearing process in Christ, it'll make it a lot easier for us to bear fruit if we will stay within the pattern that God has established in nature. Sometimes people become Christians and they're ready to go great guns as soon as they become a child of God. I remember a convert that I was involved in the teaching of, and he became a Christian, and I mean, he was ready to go. I want to do this and I want to do that. And we talked about that, and the guy had great abilities, but I said, all of your abilities in the business world and all of your successes there are very valuable, and they're going to be great tools for the Lord, but you've got to first start developing some foliage. You need to study. You need to know God's word as well as you know the business world. You need to know God's word as well as you know motivational ideas and thoughts. Bear the foliage first, and then the flowering process in which we personally bloom. And then comes the fruit bearing. Our richest fruit bearing is done only when others see Christ flowering in us. And that can't take place, Christians, until we know the Word of God. That's the foliage that has to come first. Sometimes I look in an assembly as I'm preaching and I think, what are we doing here? There's so much to be done outside. So many people to teach and to reach with the gospel of Christ. Why do we spend so many hours here? And I realize that this is important. This is where we are receiving the nourishment that will make us flower in the image of Christ. And only then can we teach others. You cannot teach others what Christ is and what he can mean to them until they see what a difference he has made in your life. I have a terrible habit that of eating things, and if they don't taste good, I want other people to taste it. You know, to know it doesn't taste good. So I'm sure it's not just me. So I'll drink something, ooh, this milk is sour, taste it. Well, I mean, if somebody's got a scowl on their face and they're cringing because they drank it, you don't want to drink it. And if we try to present Christ to others and he hasn't made a difference in our life yet, and we're not reflecting the joy and the peace and the harmony that we should have with the world at large and with our God in heaven, how can we teach others? We're saying, here, Christ is good, taste him. We're scowling and we're not reflecting what is possible for us to reflect if we will first produce the foliage and the flowers and then bear the fruit. It takes a great deal of sun and fertilizing and time for a tree to bear. And our best fruit bearing, though I'm not saying when you first become a Christian, you shouldn't immediately begin trying to tell others what you've found in Christ. Some great things have been done by new converts, and I'm not unaware of that. But your best fruit bearing will be done when others see Jesus living in you. What kinds of fruits do Christians bear? I mean, what are we talking about when we talk about the secret of living is fruit bearing? What kind of fruit do we produce? Well, let's get involved in some fruit inspection now. Let me tell you what the Bible says about that. First of all, we bear fruit in the salvation of souls. That is important. It's a major part of our fruit-bearing process as Christians. Now remember again, our premise of our lesson, the secret of living is fruit-bearing. So if you want to have the richest life, you're going to be bearing the kind of fruit that we're talking about here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul there said to those Roman Christians, "I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I've planned to come to you and have been prevented thus far in order that I might obtain some fruit among you also." Paul said, "I want to bear some fruit among you also." What did he mean by that? He said, "even as among the rest of the Gentiles." Well, he was talking about converting people. My desire is to bring about the salvation of souls among you, as I have also done among other Gentiles. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, it's called catching fish. In John chapter 4, verse 35, it's called harvesting the fields. In Jude 23, it's rescuing people from the fire. Call it what you will, it's all fruit bearing. It's what we do. It's your job. It's your duty as a Christian. Now, it's not just something you do when the church energizes you to do it. It's something you do because Jesus has called you into that life as a branch of the vine. And remember this. Now, back in our text, it is not us saving souls. It is Jesus saving souls through us. Look again at what he said in John 15, verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." It's Jesus working through us. It's the vine that produces the grapes through the branch. And so when we work, it is Jesus who is at work through us. Secondly, fruit bearing is mentioned in the Bible in conjunction with the holiness of life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22. I'll give you time to turn there, if you would. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. "But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. And the outcome is eternal life." You're freed from sin, and what is the result of that? What's the fruit of that? He says, sanctification, and ultimately, eternal life. In Galatians chapter 5, you're familiar with that section where Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit. You remember? These are things that we receive as a result of being Christians. These are things that are grown in us. In verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How many of us have been in Bible classes as young people and the teacher drew a tree on the board and put the fruits, and the fruits were love and joy and peace? That's an accurate portrayal of what the apostle is saying. These are the results of living in the vine. We'll produce those things. If love is not true in your life, you're not producing all the fruits that God has for you in Jesus Christ. If peace and long suffering aren't true of you, you're not bearing all the fruit that you should be bearing. What's the problem? Well, maybe you're not getting enough fertilizer from the Lord. Maybe you're not living in the sun, S-O-N, as much as you could be. Holiness of life is a fruit-bearing result of being in the vine, Jesus Christ. Third, the branches are sacrificial in their giving. And part of our fruit bearing is a life of sacrifice, living sacrificially. Listen to this statement. I read this before, and I thought it was appropriate here. Branches live to give, and they give to live. Now think about that. Listen to it again. Branches live to give, that is, they give their fruit up, and they give their fruit up in order to continue to reproduce more branches, that is, more trees. As the fruit drops to the ground, the seeds spill out and more trees are grown. They live to give, and they give to live. Now, take that premise and look at a couple of passages with me. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Here the Apostle Paul says that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit in every good work. Why do we do our good works? All right, well, let's continue thinking about that. Now, take that idea. Part of our fruit bearing is doing good works. And that is living to give. We give those good works to others. For what purpose? Well, you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they what? See your good works and do what? Glorify your Father who's in heaven. Now, how are they going to do that and why? Well, they're going to become Christians. They're going to see the lives we live and they become children of God. The only way that the kingdom of God is going to continue perpetually is for you and me to live, to give to others the good works and the blessings that we have received from Christ, so that they too may become Christians and future generations will call upon our God. We live to give, and we give in order to continue living and Christ to continue living in this world. All that we do, all the good works that we do are tailor-made for us. We're producing the fruit that Christ wants us to bear, so that Christ's kingdom can continue. Now, we all have a part in that. Every good work that we do because we're Christians, all of that's important in the kingdom of God. Every bit of it. This morning, the amen is as important as the preachment. You think about that. You may be thinking, well, the preachers do the work during a sermon. Not so. I know that this is true of Matt. I know this is true of Sewell. There isn't one of the three of us that would stand in the pulpit and preach if there wasn't somebody out there to listen. And what you're doing is important here. Being a good listener is an important work. It's important to those of us who preach, I'll tell you that. And it's important in imparting the knowledge of God to others, because you can only pass on what you personally have received. So listen well and share it with others. Live to give, and give knowing that that is life. Finally, Hebrews 13:15 says that we give the praise of our lips, the fruit of our lips, which is praise and devotion to God. Our praise and our worship to God this morning has been part of our fruit-bearing process. You, I hope, were actively involved in that, in our singing and in our praying and in our participation at the supper of our Lord. All of these are important in the fruit-bearing process. One last point in the lesson, jurors. Go back to verse 2 in John 15 with me, if you would, please, and look at one more thing Jesus says, and we'll close. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. I leave you with this challenge. The Lord is not satisfied with last year's harvest. It doesn't matter how much fruit you produced last year, the Lord is ready to prune you that you may bear more fruit. Now, we're going to talk more about the pruning process later on in our studies, but I simply want you to know that Jesus expects our fruit bearing to always increase, always. He is always looking for more. Now, he's there to give us support and encouragement and the strength to do that, but he is never satisfied with last year's crop. He always wants it to increase. And as we mature in Christ, and as some of the things that hinder us from being effective fruit bearers drop off from us, as we gain more and more self-control in our lives, as we begin to focus more and more on what's really important, I see that happening in the lives of Christians that are older than me, and I'd like to think that it's happening in my life. I'm not saying necessarily chronological age, but Christians who are older than me who are learning what's really important in life. And as we focus on those things that are really vital to Christian living, and slough off those things that aren't as important to us, we become more effective fruit bearers, and we produce more. And here's what's great about that. The more fruit we produce, the more seeds there are, which are potential fruit in others. Not too long ago, I was instrumental in the conversion of a person in St. Louis, Missouri. Though I have only been to St. Louis, Missouri one time to preach. But I was instrumental in the conversion of my best friend, Mark Broyles, who preaches in St. Louis, Missouri. And every time somebody is converted there, I rejoice. That's my fruit, you see. That's my fruit. I helped produce that because I helped and was an instrument of the Lord to produce the fruit that produced the fruit. You see the point? And from one watermelon, there is the potential of thousands of watermelon vines. And within you, there is the potential for great and wonderful things to be done in the kingdom of God in fruit bearing. And every person, whether it's your own child physically or someone else's child or some brother or sister or some neighbor or some friend of yours or some coworker or some student or some boyfriend or girlfriend you have or had, if you teach them the gospel of Christ, you have created someone who can create other Christians. And your work goes on and on and on. And my parents, who've never preached in St. Louis, helped in the conversion of that person and those people in St. Louis because they taught me and I taught Mark and Mark taught them. And when they teach somebody else in another place, I'm teaching again. And I rejoice in that. And that's how our fruit bearing increases, as we reach out and do those things we're supposed to do. Now, I beg you to come back tonight, because tonight I'll tell you what the secret of fruit bearing is. And we'll continue our study there. At the beginning of the lesson, I mentioned to you that if you're not in the vine, you can't produce the fruits that we're talking about. You simply can't be effective in telling somebody else how to become a Christian if you're not a Christian. You can't tell somebody about the joy in Christ if you have no joy in Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. All the good things that we've talked about being and having are not yours. And I'm really sorry they're not yours, because they could be. I mean, it's a gift that's unclaimed. Christ died for you. He wants you to be His. He wants you to be His, not from a selfish standpoint, but because of what He knows will be the result in your life if you would but surrender your will to His will and become a disciple. Will you do that today? I hope you will. You think about it as we sing this song, and if you're ready to become a Christian this morning, I mean to give everything you have and are to Jesus Christ, to put yourself in the true vine and live for Him and through Him. If you're ready to do that and turn away from your past life, you're ready to confess Him as Lord, then you're ready to be baptized. And we can do that this morning, and you can leave here ready to begin that foliage, flowering, and fruit-bearing process that'll make your life richer than I could ever describe to you. Why don't you do that? Come to the front right now while we stand and sing.